Something else happened in 1888. Something very significant. Senator H. W. Blair of New Hampshire introduced a Sunday bill into the United States Congress, enforcing Sunday in all federal territories as a day of worship. That happened in 1888. We got worried. We sent Jones back to lobby against the passing of that bill. Some of you are nodding. You remember this history. He spoke to the members of Congress, and the law did not pass. Now you say, but wait a minute. It didn't become law. Now, friends, here's where we've got to look at history. The prophet already told us that when the sign should come, we should leave the large cities. The prophet said that. And it's the prophet who in 1885 said the time is not far distant, and who in 1903 said the time has come. It's the prophet who said, although the time was not far distant in 1885, in 1900, she said what? Get out of the large cities. That's step one. Was the prophet confused? Absolutely not. How does this work? Well, you've got to remember the comparison. She herself made it there in Testimonies, Volume 5, 464 and 465. What did she compare it to? The siege around Jerusalem. Now, this is where history is so important. How many sieges around Jerusalem were there? Two. Did the first siege come to a desolating fruition? No. The intentions were made known. The standard was set up in the holy ground. Everything was ready, and then they pulled back. Friend, do you follow? We are now standing a century plus, more than a century after the first siege around modern-day Jerusalem. Are you with me? All these decades have passed, and I was in false security, thinking I don't have to worry. The Sunday law, I know it's coming. I know it's coming, but friend, that is the second siege. We were told in great controversy that God's people were delivered. They were spared because they obeyed. Not one Christian perished. Why? Because they obeyed the warning of Jesus. They left between the first siege and the second siege. Somebody says, that's a long time. That's because we serve a merciful God. But time is running out. I hear the rumble of the return of the Roman armies. Don't you? You know about Dies Domini, right? This Pope calling for Sunday legislation. Have you heard of the new unabridged Catholic Catechism? Well, I guess we can still call it new. It's almost 10 years old now. I believe it goes back to 1995. You know what was significant about that one? Unabridged, complete, in the English language. But I'll tell you what's more significant to me about that catechism. First of all, it had the imprimatur of Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger. Do you know who that is? For decades, the office of the Inquisition in Rome was empty, was vacant. He now is in that office. It is his seal that is authorizing the unabridged Catholic Catechism. It is in that Catholic Catechism, which the last time I checked, you can read it on the internet. If you go to the commandments and you go to the third commandment, you remember that why you have to do that? Because they dropped the second. Then they had nine. Everybody knows you've got to have 10 commandments, so they split the last one in two. So if you go to the third commandment, you'll find the Sabbath so-called commandment there in that catechism, and there you will find a call for Sunday legislation in the Catholic Catechism authorized with the seal of the office of the Inquisition. Friends, you know this issue kept Mrs. White awake at night? Here's what she said in 1900. I could not sleep past 2 o'clock this morning. During the night season, I was in council. I was pleading with some families to avail themselves of God's appointed means and get away from the cities to save their children. Some were loitering, making no determined efforts. The angels of mercy hurried Lot and his wife and daughters by taking hold of their hands. Had Lot hastened, friends, this is heavy. had Lot hastened, as the Lord desired him to, his wife would not have become a pillar of salt. Lot had too much of a lingering spirit. Let us not be like him. The same voice that warned Lot to leave Sodom bids us, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean. Those who obey this warning will find a refuge. Let every man be wide awake for himself and try to save his family. Let him gird himself for the work. God will reveal from point to point what to do next. That is Review and Herald, December 11, 1900. More than a century ago. Now, somebody says, what about the lost in the city? That's the appeal we hear now, isn't it? We've got to live in the city to save the lost people in the city. Oh, Jesus comes close to people. How could we abandon the lost in the city? Do you hear this? Yes. Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, page 253. Said the messenger of God, shall not the cities be warned? Yes, not by God's people living in them, but by their visiting them to warn them of what is coming upon the earth. Here's another one, Evangelism, page 79. When iniquity abounds in a nation, there is always to be heard some voice giving warning and instruction, as the voice of Lot was heard in Sodom. Yet, all that Lot and his family did in Sodom could have been done by them, even if they had lived in a place some distance away from the city. Pretty clear, isn't it? One more. As God's commandment-keeping people, we must leave the cities. As did Enoch, we must work in the cities, but not dwell in them. Amen. Evangelism 78, 79. I said one more. I'm going to cheat. I got to sneak in even one more yet. Because somebody asked me, didn't Mrs. White say there would be people in the cities at the time of the death decree? Have you heard this? I've had people tell me that means somebody's going to live there. Oh, friends, we just got to read what the prophet said. We've got to read the rest of the story. In Early Writings, page 34, here's what it says. In the time of trouble, we all fled from the cities and villages, but were pursued by the wicked who entered the houses of the saints with a sword. Where were the houses of the saints? They weren't in the cities and they weren't in the villages. Did you catch that? In the time of trouble, we all fled from the cities and villages, but were pursued by the wicked who entered the houses of the saints. Their homes were in the country. The enemies of God's people chased them all the way to their homes. You say, wow, that doesn't sound very good. What's the point of being in the country? They're going to chase us into our homes anyway. We've got to keep reading. They raised, it said they entered their houses with a sword. And then listen to this. They raised the sword to kill us, but it broke and fell as powerless as straw. Where do God's people live?